The third of our five core values is selfless giving. Selfless giving. Those are two words that most people really don't want to hear. Selfless because, well, that means putting me behind other people. And giving because that means taking whatever I call my own and letting it be someone else's. Put both of those things together, though, and now you are really feeling like fingernails across the chalkboard to me. Selfless giving, that's kind of like asking, well, who wants to sign up to walk across hot coals barefoot while we swallow a live toad? Just not everybody jumping in line to do that, typically. Not very many, especially when our own resources these days seem to be under more and more threat, don't they? And yet the stories of people that we admire who gave selflessly are scattered all over history, and we read them with admiration. During World War II, there was a young paratrooper, David Webster, Easy Company, 101st Airborne, the Band of Brothers. He wrote this to his mother, "Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." For us to truly love others and serve others, we need to be skilled at this. For us to truly demonstrate that at Central Christian Church, hope lives here, we'll necessarily make selfless giving a very real priority. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Yes, when you were being invited to life in Jesus, that's what you were being invited to. When we invite you this morning to life in Jesus, we are inviting you to practice life in Jesus together with this group of people and inviting you as you do that to give up some of your resources for the sake of reaching others. No apologies for that. I would apologize if I were inviting you to join yourself with a group of people who are selfish and stingy. Hey, come join a bunch of people who are stingy. But what if you were being invited to do life together with people who are dedicating themselves to look out for others and to give away for the sake of accomplishing good? Then you also, as you become part of that, would be signing on to be that kind of a person too, right? There's just no other way to think of this. Selfless giving is a core value of Central Christian Church. In fact, it is a necessary component of who we are trying to be. So what I'd like to do this morning should be easy to follow. If you're taking notes, here it is. I want to spell out selfless giving in threes. I want to talk about three reasons for us to do this, three ways that we can get this done, and if we do it, three things that will happen. All right? I hope you like the number three. Let's talk about three reasons to do it. The ability to rise above self-preservation instincts, the ability to deliberately place myself behind others, to maybe even sacrifice life itself, isn't something that you just kind of decide to do on a whim one day. There have to be some deep motives, some deep reasons at play in your life if that's how you're going to live it. January 13th, 1982, Air Florida Flight 90 took off from Washington National Airport, came crashing down with ice on its wings just into the flight, into the 14th Street Bridge where it hit some cars, and then crashed through the ice of the Potomac River. 73 out of 79 people on board immediately were killed. Six were left afloat in the icy water. A park helicopter, as quickly as it could, came to help. Lifelines began to be dropped to get to these people who were struggling with hypothermia one by one. And the crew noticed, as there was one man, Arlen Williams was his name, a bank examiner, by the way, from Mattoon, Illinois, who, when the lines were tossed to him, kept handing them off to those who were in the water. to help them be saved rather than choosing to save himself. The other five people in the water were all saved that day, but when they came back for Arland, the tail section that he had been clinging to had shifted and sunk, and he was gone. He was the only person on the flight that day to die of drowning. He's memorialized as a hero who gave his life for the sake of five strangers, selflessly giving. The idea of selfless giving is possible only when we get down to the most basic reasons for it. Here are some of them. These are the three reasons I want to try to lay out that we have to be selfless givers. Here's the first one. All of creation is all about God. Can I get a uh-huh? If you don't like prepositions, you're not going to like these verses. Here we go. These are all about God. Colossians 1:16. By him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Hebrews 2:10, for it is fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. See what I mean about if you don't like prepositions? As I like to say, I think these verses summarize it very well. There is one God, and you are not him. The very purpose of our existence centers around God. We tend to get this backwards, don't we? We tend to think of God as being there to service creation. But the fact is, creation is here to service God. It centers around him. Let's take that one step further. Since creation is all about God, nothing in creation is yours, including yourself. Now, if there's something that you have that exists outside of what God has created, if you have something in your life that isn't here because God created it, then it's exempt. But there just isn't anything like that, is there? Not even you are outside of this. Let's review that ownership here. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Romans 14, verse 7. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Galatians 2:20, Paul looked at his life in Jesus Christ. He said this about it, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is a whole lot easier, I find, to let go of something if it's not mine in the first place. On several occasions when our children were teens, they found it really easy to be generous with their parents' resources. Sure, you can come with us. Don't worry, my parents will pay for it. Okay, I guess I could do that when my resources aren't mine to start with. Here's another reason for selfless giving, and that is that you can't keep anything that you don't give away. Let me explain that further on. Because not only are your resources not really yours, but they're also limited to this world. One day, guess what? you and I will be leaving those all behind. Jesus told the parable of a rich fool who had crops so big that he found they would not fit in his barns. The crop yield was so great it wouldn't fit, and so he made a plan. He was going to build back bigger, tear down his barns, build bigger ones, store all of it for himself, and then kick back and indulge himself. God was not impressed. You know, it's very unusual. Think about this. It's very unusual for Jesus to tell a parable where God speaks. But he does in this parable. Look at what he said. Luke 12, verse 20. God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God, Jesus said. Listen to Jesus' words. When you do this, when you lay up treasure just for yourself, what's going to happen? Well, the book of Proverbs describes that. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For it suddenly sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Yes, money talks. It says, goodbye. You can't keep anything of this world. U-Haul does not design a trailer fitted to go on the back of a funeral coach. Down in Waco, Texas, there is an established institution, Baylor University. It's been there for many years. And there's a story about how a Christian man gave money to help build buildings for that school in its early years. And then later, after giving all this money to Baylor University and getting it started, he lost all of his property. And at the time, people asked him, "Don't you wish you had all that money back that you put into the school?" And he said this, "Not at all. It's all that I have saved. If I had kept that money, I would have lost it too. I'm thankful that I gave that building what I did." That is selfless giving. And those are good reasons to do it. Okay? Now, that's three good reasons, I think, biblical reasons for us to be selfless givers. Let's go on to how to do that. Three ways to get it done. Here's one, submit to one another. That is, give up your right to be first. A few weeks ago in Disciple Hour, we talked about submission as a spiritual discipline, submission. Most of us don't like that word, and it is still a basic command for every follower of Christ. Did you know that? Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's writing to these Christians and says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, we're here doing that this morning, aren't we? We kind of enjoy that, don't we? Singing together, singing to the Lord together, giving thanks, those are good. And then it says, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. That's a little different. Most simply put, submission is where we voluntarily put ourselves in second place. Submission is when you don't feel like you have to get your rights. It's the opposite of cutting in line. Make a decision to give up your rights to others, and you're submitting. That's one way we can get this done. Selfless giving involves that attitude, submission. Here's a second one, and that is to practice generosity. In other words, to give up your stuff like it's not yours. I want to look at some instructions that the word gives to the rich. So this morning, if you're not rich, I guess you can tune that out. But before you tune yourself out of that, I want you to remember that wealth is a relative thing. So relate your standard of living to the rest of the world's 7.9 billion people to start with. And then related also to the people that Paul was writing to in the first century. And now you and I are actually doing very, very well, aren't we? Then hear these instructions. 1 Timothy 6:17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. The instruction to people who have resources is practice generosity. It's an interesting word. Generous here is actually two words put together. One word that means good, and another that means to transfer from me to someone else. Generosity means a good transfer of resources. It is the cure for people with resources to keep from being proud or from setting their hopes on stuff. That practice of being generous. To the rich, Paul says, I give this instruction. Practice generosity. Here's a third way to be a selfless giver to get this done, and that is to seek out ways to add to others. Not just to add to stuff, but to add to others. There's this word that occurs throughout the New Testament, the word edify or build up. I think that we all probably already understand a bit of what that feels like, because all of us, I think, understand how much we appreciate it when someone does something for us, don't we? When someone builds us up. Everybody can use an attaboy. When you get a good job review, when you get an encouraging card, I got an encouraging card this past week. I like that. When somebody just pays you a compliment, when somebody goes out of their way to do that, it adds to you as a person, doesn't it? It builds you up. Just as surely as a bricklayer adds another row of bricks to a wall, it builds you. Paul says in Romans 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Build him up. Same word, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you were doing. Ephesians 4:12, it is the work of the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. When you look at other people, get into the habit of asking yourself, how can I add to this person? What can I say? What can I do that will somehow build him up? Build her up in selfless giving. And I suggest to you that one of the ways that we build each other up, one of the ways that we can do that is by serving in ministries through the church. Let me pause on that. There is an interesting phenomenon going on across the country right now. There are several. But here's one I've noticed. It's not true of everything. But have you noticed a considerable decline in what used to be customer service? Have you noticed that? It's as if focusing on helping others, the service industry, has become less of a priority to many people. Have you noticed that? You know, in the church, we call that ministry, serving one another, building each other up. And the commands to followers of Jesus to engage in that selfless giving, those haven't gone away. Brothers and sisters, maybe the rest of the world is losing its way more than ever where this is concerned. To me, that is even greater reason for the Church of Jesus Christ to make sure that we don't lose it. Amen? More than ever, we need to keep this priority of selfless giving. All right, and as we do that, here are three things that I think will happen. Sometimes people shy away from the idea of giving because they're afraid that if I give, it will mean I have less in life. Somehow I won't be as complete. I won't feel as fulfilled. But that's not what Jesus said at all. He said that the degree of your giving will proportionally impact the degree of how you are blessed. And that's one of the things that will happen. You will find yourself blessed. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus described it like this, and it's apparently describing what goes on with a harvest of grain. Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Proportionate. Ruth chose to selflessly give and care for her mother-in-law. She ended up being blessed and becoming a part of the lineage of Jesus. What a legacy. A poor widow quietly wandered in and gave two tiny copper coins into the temple offering, everything that she had. Jesus said that her gift counted more than the huge sums that rich people were pouring in with fanfare. Mary chose to pour out perfume on the feet of Jesus. Likely it was her life savings. It was an extravagant gift. It was criticized. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, she'd be remembered for it. Jesus said, it is a greater blessing to give than to receive. I believe it. You'll find yourself blessed if you give. Here's something else that will happen. Selfless giving, put it into practice, you will be like Jesus. I remember many years ago at the North American Christian Convention, they take up an offering, or they did in those days, in the old Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets that they passed around. Take up an offering and get somebody significant to get up and speak about offering before they would receive it. Dave Stone got up and was talking about offering, and he said, "You know what? You never resemble God more than when you are giving. God is a giver." Those words really stuck with me. I've thought about that many times since then, and I think it's true. God is a giver. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. God is a giver. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, says, every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. When I selflessly give, I am being like Jesus. I have dared to take on the name of Christian, and it means that I am like Jesus, and that I must therefore be a selfless giver. Like Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. One more outcome of this priority is you'll have treasure in heaven. Selflessly give, you will have treasure in heaven. There was a young ruler who was rich. He was interested in eternal life. He asked Jesus, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "What are the commandments?" He rattled them off, and Jesus said, "Keep these and you'll live." And the young man said, "Well, I've kept all of these since my youth." Okay. Rather than laugh at him, Jesus, it says in Mark 10:21, look at how Mark records this. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." When we practice selfless giving, whatever form it takes, we are laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Remember, you can't keep anything that you don't give away. Remember that? Well, also, the way to keep anything is by selflessly giving it away. Investing in what matters, laying up treasure in heaven, Jesus called it. That's what he said we should do. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, deposits into the treasury of heaven are made by selfless giving. That is the only investment that can last. Suppose that you had a great place to go to in the winter. Some of you are thinking, yep, I'm going there pretty soon. Some of you are thinking, I'm already there, goodbye. Suppose you have this beautiful place in Florida, you know, right on the coast, and it's gorgeous there, and you've invested a lot in it. There's a nice car in the garage. There's a boat at the docks. There's a beautiful kitchen with great appliances, this wonderful master bedroom. The neighborhood has tennis courts, a pool, a beach, Friday night concerts at the park. And you have helped build this. You have helped build it into the ultimate community, the ultimate place, the ultimate house to be at. And then, as long as we're dreaming, suppose you never went there. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it? To have such a nice investment, to have such a nice thing, and then never to go to appreciate it. Think about this. When Jesus said that we should not lay up treasure on earth, but we should lay up treasure in heaven for ourselves, it presupposes something, doesn't it? It presupposes that we're going to be there to appreciate it. You see, none of this that we're talking about here today makes any sense unless you're there to appreciate it. We want you there. That's what I want to wrap up with this morning. This whole selfless giving priority and all of the great things that come about because of it don't make any sense unless you're there. I want to be there. How about you? Our goal is for everybody to share that together. The Lord's goal is for every person to be there. So this morning, we're duty bound to tell you that God wants you to be in heaven with him forever. That's a wonderful thing. And you can. Whatever path that you have taken to get here this morning or to be here online this morning, however you have lived your life up to this point, right now, beginning now, you can start a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can begin a walk of faith that will end in eternal life with him. If you haven't begun that walk, if you haven't begun that relationship, what's holding you back? Don't you want to enjoy treasure in heaven forever? I do. And we want you there together with us. That's part of what we're doing here, loving God, loving people, serving both. Maybe you don't understand, well, how do I become a Christian? How do I become that little Christ? How do I start that? I'm glad you asked that. God's word is really clear about that. It's about understanding who Jesus Christ is and acknowledging that the things that he claimed about himself are true and being willing to say that, believing that and being willing to say it. And as a result of that, saying, I'm going to repent of my past life. I'm going to say goodbye to how I was living. Jesus is going to be Lord to me now, from here on out. And then being baptized into him. Because he has given us something there, a promise to start a new life, to wash away that old person, to wash away our sins, and to let us begin a new life. Just like Jesus was buried and raised, we can be buried and start over. If you're ready to do that today, if you're here and ready to do that, then would you please step forward when we sing a song here in just a moment. I'm going to be down here at the front. I'm going to invite you to just come and share with me your decision. Yes, I want to begin this relationship with Jesus today. If you're online and that's something that you want to do, you can get in touch with us right now. We have a person live who's watching, hosting our online presence. And if you'll just put in the comments, I want to do this right now, we'll get in touch with you. We'll make arrangements for that right away. Let's stand up together. Let's pray as we get ready to sing a song together. Father, thank you for the invitation that never goes away till you come again. Thank you for opportunities to respond to that. For every person standing, drawing a breath today who hears this message, Lord, I pray that you'll be at work on our hearts now. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be different than the pattern of this world. We want to be transformed into the likeness of your Son. Father, as Jesus selflessly gave, help us to selflessly give for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of your glory. And we know that there will be great treasure in doing that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.